Welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Thursday, March the 8th, 2012. Hope you're having a good day. I'm Bill Buckmaster, your host on the Buckmaster Show on KVOI The Voice, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and The Voice Network stations KJAA AM 1240 in Globe and KAPR 930 in Douglas. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at KVOI.com, and you can hear our programs at any three venues 24/7 anytime anywhere in the world, listening at buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. We are live Monday through Friday from noon to one. We'll lead off the program with Republican State Representative Terry Proud. 20 minutes past the hour, a conversation with folklorist Big Jim Griffith, talking about his new book titled A Border Runs Through It. At 30 minutes past the hour, a newsmaker interview with Councilwoman Karen Ulick, who is the vice mayor of the city of Tucson. And we encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. You can email questions at buckmastershow.com or submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. And if you have a story idea, a particular guest that you would like to hear interviewed, we encourage you to contact us. Well, the ongoing spat between Marana and Pima County spilled over into the legislature yesterday as the Senate Committee on Government Reform voted to audit Pima County's bond spending. The sponsor of HB 2408 is State Representative Terry Proud, a Republican from Tucson's District 26. She joins us now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Representative Proud, how are you?
Hi, I'm doing very well. How are you?
Doing pretty good. Do you believe that there are many discrepancies between what Pima County claims to have built with the bond funds that voters authorized and what actually exists?
I do. I really do. And I think, you know, if you look at all the bond money that has been proposed to the voters and what they have voted on throughout the years, including the non-voter bonds that Pima County approves for themselves, it's over $2 billion. I mean, it is just ridiculous. And when I look at our streets and I look at, you know, things not being taken care of, I mean, that there's a problem. We've got some serious issues going on. Where's the money? Why is our city looking the way it is? Why are we constantly fighting just to fix potholes in our streets for years when there's $2 billion out there in approved and non-approved bonds? So do I believe that there are discrepancies, there's some things going on that maybe shouldn't be? Absolutely.
So this would be an audit, a forensic audit, and it would go over, I guess, the 1997, 2004, and 2006 bonds. Is that correct?
That is correct. Absolutely. And it's just, you know, it's just the general obligation bond. Personally, I don't think it goes far enough. I really don't. I think that the bonds need to be, the certificates of participations, I think those need to be investigated, but you know, they're just the general obligation bonds. And personally, I would think that Pima County would welcome something like this because they do have a little bit of a reputation of not doing what is right always by the taxpayer. We've seen some pretty horrific things going on in the city of Tucson. And, you know, if they don't have anything to worry about, you would think that they would be welcoming something like this to clear, you know, any fears or any wrongdoing.
You were quoted in Howard Fisher of Capital Media Services, the story that ran in the Arizona Daily Star, that you contend that, quote, there's been some bullying going around by Chuck Huckleberry, the Pima County administrator.
You know, he's been there for a long time. He's a man who likes to get what he wants, and he's going to stop at nothing to get what he wants. And you know, to me, he's a good old boy playing good old-fashioned politics, and, you know, I think people are tired of that. They just want to go to work, They want to go home, feed their families. They want to live in an environment. They want to be able to live in a place where they can. They don't have to worry about their children having a future. And it's just, you know, people just want to live their lives. But you know, when we've got an administrator who's taking taxpayer money and not using it appropriately, and you know, we don't have a very good reputation as far as the foreclosure rate in that town, then, yeah, there are some issues. And I think some of it has to do with, you know, the good old boys club.
Well, Mr. Huckleberry has said on this program, and then I see his assistant was quoted in the Howard Fisher report, that your proposal is a political vendetta. They're very upset with you. And have you met with Mr. Huckleberry or any of his people about this?
No, not at all. You know what? That's not true. That is not true. I have met with Michael Rossi, and you know, it's funny because when I was sitting in Representative Wire's office, he's the chair of the rules. Michael Rossi and I met under Representative Wire's instruction, and him and I had a conversation. And I brought this up weeks ago. I said, you know what, Michael? I said, why don't we just clear the air? I said, I think there's some wrongdoing going on. You don't think there is. Why don't we just do a forensic audit? And Representative Wire said, you know, I think that would be a great idea. I think it would clear up a lot of stuff. And Michael said right to my face in front of Michael Wire that he didn't have a problem with it. He said, okay. And I said, are you sure? Do I need to speak with Mr. Huckleberry about it? And he sat right in that office and he says, no, ma'am. He says, I have full authority to make that decision. And so now I'm doing a forensic audit just on the general obligation and everybody's flipping out about it. So,
and we should point out that Michael Rossi is the Pima County lobbyist. That's who you were meeting with.
That is correct. He represents the town of Pima County.
And so they also believe you're confused about the tens of thousands of pages of documents that are available for you to go over about the bond money. They believe the bond money has been spent properly is the bottom line.
Well, you know, they can say whatever they want. That's fine. You know, again, I would think that they would welcome something like this. You know, if I didn't have anything to hide, if I was doing things appropriately, if I was reporting to the Department of Revenue in the way I was supposed to, I would be go for it. You know, but again, you've got a county who is dabbling in things that maybe they shouldn't be doing. They shouldn't be mismanaging bond money. I made the testimony in committee that there's $40 million of HERF bond money missing. You know, where's that money? That's not being accurately reported. I mean, we got certificates of participation that are not being accurately reported, in my opinion, to the Department of Revenue. So, I mean, yes, there are some discrepancies going on. And if you go back and if you just Google Pima County bonds, this issue has been going on for a very, very, very long time. We've had newspaper reports. There have been many reporters talking about the discrepancies in the bonds, and nobody's ever done anything about it.
You know, Mr. Huckleberry said that your bill, and I guess another one that you're sponsoring to him, that would impede the county's bonding authority can be traced back to the fight over the control of the sewage treatment plant, which the town of Marana obtained after losing several court battles before finally going to the legislature to force the county to hand it over. How important is Marana in all of this?
Well, you know, Marana, of course, backs the forensic audit, and they should. You know, I think they have been disserviced and been the subject of Huckleberry's wrath. I mean, he doesn't like anybody standing up to him, and he doesn't like to have anybody tell him no. You know, he wants to have control over every intricate detail of all the counties, and he likes it that way. So when you got a county that wants to do things the right way, it has a tendency to go against what Huckleberry wants to do, and he gets a little upset. As far as whether this is a result of the water sewage, you know, again, if this issue with bonds has been an issue in the newspaper for a very, very long time, way before the sewage.
Would you be willing, Representative Terry Proud, to sit down with Mr. Huckleberry and talk about this?
Well, I don't know what it's going to change. I mean, there's going to be an audit. The other bill that I have is regarding certificates of participation, and all that's going to do is just pretty much mandate that he needs to start having some public hearings and start letting the public know when he's going to be conducting bonds without voter approval. He needs to let the public know. So, I mean, if he wants to sit down and chit-chat, that's fine. We can chit-chat all day, but I don't know what it's going to solve.
And finally, I've got about a minute to go. When we had Mr. Huckleberry on the program, Representative Proud, he said that if this bonding, the changing the way the bonding is done in Pima County, he says it will be the end of bonding as far as we know it in Pima County.
Well, that's not true. First of all, what I have done is I've eliminated the regional bonding committee. So we've eliminated that. What I am doing, though, is proposing another piece of legislation that is going to bring more transparency to the bonding issues, especially to the non-voter bonding issues that are taking place in Pima County,
okay,
so that the taxpayers have an idea of what's going on.
Representative Proud, thank you very much. What about
your
own political future? Are you going to be up for re-election?
That's kind of a convoluted question right there. To be honest with you, I don't plan on running for this upcoming election. They have, with the redistricting, they have really sliced and diced me, which I'm sure was not an accident.
So but, at this point, you're not going to run?
Not for the 2012. I will be back for 2014, that
okay.
is for sure.
Terry Proud, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Terry Proud with us on the Buckmaster Show. Folklorist, the legendary, the man is a living icon of Southern Arizona. Big Jim Griffith is next as we continue with the Thursday edition of Buckmaster.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. Everyone is switching to high-efficiency appliances because they have money, and a Culligan high-efficiency water softener does the same. But did you know that you can rent rather than buy? Think about it. No equipment to pay for upfront, money-saving purchase options if you change your mind, and service calls are included in the rental rate. In fact, you'll never have to pay for another water softener, ever. So now you can get all the benefits of soft water for less when you rent from Culligan. Imagine a spot-free home, softer skin, and brighter laundry for dollars a day. Even better, a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy, plus helps all your appliances last longer. Let your Culligan man take care of your water when you rent the world's most efficient water softener. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it. But let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit PyramidFCU.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This weekend is the 4th Annual Festival of Books. Among the hundreds of authors will be folklorist Big Jim Griffith, who was honored last fall by the National Endowment of the Arts with a prestigious National Heritage Fellowship. Big Jim is founder of Tucson Meet Yourself. He was the longtime director of the Southwest Folklore Center at the University of Arizona. He is the author of 7 books, including his latest, titled A Border Runs Through It, published by Tucson-based Rio Nuevo Press. The book was inspired by the warm reception given to his weekly segments that ran for nearly, well, those segments called Southern Arizona Traditions ran for nearly 20 years on Arizona Illustrated, the program that I hosted for 23 years on KUAT Channel 6. Big Jim, how are you? Happy spring to you.
Happy spring to you. You're looking good.
Thank you.
And I'm doing fine.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you at the book festival. You've got, I guess you're going to be taking part in a border panel on Sunday, 11:30 a.m. to 12:30 at the Integrated Learning Center. That will be room 130, and you'll be glad to see all your many fans, I'm sure.
Well, I am looking forward to it, partly because I have no idea what it's going to consist of, except that I'm supposed to be on it, and I think Fitz is supposed to be on it. But it'll be an exciting voyage of discovery.
I like the book, the packaging. Of course, I'm familiar with many of the stories since I remember very much your Southern Arizona Traditions, one of our very popular features that we had on Arizona Illustrated. Rio Nuevo Press did a really nice job with this book from the cover, and all of the artwork is really great. Some of your favorite stories in there, I know the one that was very popular and we ran many times, how Tucson got its name, and how many of the place names came about here in Tucson.
Yep. Yeah, it's got a lot of my old standards in it, and a few new things too. Tucson's name, of course, is surprisingly enough, it did not get called Tucson because it's halfway between one son and three son. but rather it's a mispronunciation of Stukshon, which means black at the base or at the base of the Black Hill. And it's talking about a village that used to exist on the west side of the Santa Cruz, on the base of what we call A Mountain and what used to be called Sentinel Peak and what the Otam call Black Mountain. And Spaniards came along, and Stukshon is not really a set of sounds that offer themselves easily to the Spanish tongue, so it turned into Tukson, and the spelling stayed the same, but the pronunciation smoothed out, and it became Tucson.
One of the things we like to joke about, Big Jim, is your segments always really looked at the many food varieties, food and drink varieties that we have here in your Southern Arizona Tradition segment.
Oh, yes. And I mention food and drink in, I think, every one of my chapters. And there's a whole chapter entitled Riding the Grub Trail. And that means, surprisingly enough, food and drink.
Big Jim Griffith is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Do you have a springtime story for us real quickly?
Well, yeah, it's sort of a springtime story. It's certainly a story that has to do with our weather right now. It's the reason why so many people in southern Arizona are not necessarily remarkable churchgoers. And that is because for 6 months out of the year, the climate is so beautiful and so easy that you don't need to worry about going to heaven. And for the other 6 months, if you can survive a southern Arizona summer, the flames of hell hold no terrors for you.
Oh, so that's why church attendance in the nice weather is so low.
That obviously must be the reason.
Hey, Big Jim, how did that go last fall, your National Endowment for the Arts Award? That was a huge event back in D.C.
It went absolutely wonderfully. I was back there with a bunch of other people, all of whom were remarkable folk artists within their own community, Japanese taiko dancers from San Jose, California, and a great slack key guitar player from Hawaii, and a Brazilian samba tambourine player from, I think, Los Angeles. All these people continuing their own aesthetic and artistic traditions, and all realizing that those traditions were an important part of our cultural fabric, and all of them ready to enjoy and respect each other, and it was just wonderful.
And you know, Big Jim, I do want to point out the title of your book, A Border Runs Through It. Really, it's about the border line goes through a region here that's been here forever. Isn't that basically what we're talking about?
Yeah. This region, this upper northern Otam country, has been a border of some kind for centuries. And when they came to put the U.S.-Mexico border in, they slapped it down the middle of here. And as one of my Otam friends told me, why, no, we didn't choose to live on the border. The border was put across our country. And so I just decided that would be a good title for a bunch of stories and essays and information about the traditions, the living traditions of this multicultural area.
Thank you so much, Big Jim. Good talking to you. The book is A Border Runs Through It. Rio Nuevo Press will have a tent and a booth on the mall at the book festival. The book will be able to, you'll be able to purchase it through Rio Nuevo Press at the book festival. Big Jim, have a great weekend.
You too. Maybe I'll see you at the book fair.
Thank you so much. Big Jim Griffith here on the Buckmaster Show. Stay with us. Karen Ulick is next.
News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington.
There are indications that a deal to restructure Greece's debt and save the country from default will succeed. That's helped to give the financial markets a boost. Today, right now, the Dow up 61 points. Almost 2 years after President Obama signed his health care overhaul, a new poll finds that the plan is not becoming better liked or better understood among average Americans. One of the strongest solar storms in years has engulfed the Earth, and scientists say the planet may have lucked out. Hours after the storm arrived, officials say there were no reports of problems with power grids, GPS, satellites, or other technologies that are often disrupted by solar storms. The NASDAQ up 31 points, the NASDAQ ahead 12. More details at srnnews.com.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencium and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives. Expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable area rugs looking like new with Tucson's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration services. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with 100% satisfaction guarantee. Karimi Oriental Rugs appraises and purchases quality rugs and offers a vast selection of hand-woven rugs from around the world. Be sure to stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at Fort Lowell and Dodge or on the web at KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Well, 12:34 on the Buckmaster Show. I am Bill Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, and our voice network stations, folks listening to us in Globe and in Douglas. If you would like to join in the conversation with Karen Ulick, city councilwoman and vice mayor of the city of Tucson. You are always welcome to join in. If you have a question or comment, the councilwoman will be glad to entertain that. 790-2040. Councilwoman, vice mayor, how are you this afternoon?
Very well, Bill. How are you?
Doing very well. And I want to pick up a little bit on what we were talking with Representative Terry Proud, Councilwoman, at the beginning of the show, talking about her criticism of the Pima County Board of Supervisors and Chuck Huckleberry. And she's pushing, as you know, for this bill that would really change the way bonding is done in Pima County. And I know the mayors of the city of Tucson and South Tucson have written letters opposing the bill. Any thoughts on that?
Well, I think that, you know, the problem with the state legislature consistently really meddling in local levels of government is that the charge of the state is never fulfilled. And there are many challenges at the state level which really deserve and need the legislature's focus. Yet many of their bills are either trying to overturn Tucson's water policy or second guess many of the things that are charged at the local level. And voters and local residents can directly seek resolution to any issues that they have with their local government. So I'm concerned about it, you know, if first and foremost, because it undermines local control, and it means the legislature is not squarely focusing on its own responsibilities.
Yeah, and there was something about Painted Hills and the city of Tucson's water situation. It's another piece of legislation. I cannot remember, you know, I've been around this town a long time, Karen Ulick, probably going on 25 years now. I don't remember this kind of thing going on until just recent years that the legislature got involved with city and county politics, and especially Pima County and city of Tucson politics.
Yeah, it's very unfortunate, and Bill, I think it's a reflection of the highly partisan and quite honestly, sort of extremist right-wing elements in the legislature. The moderate compromising and finding common ground politics is unfortunately given way to very highly partisan and extremist politics coming out of Phoenix. And I say that, and I think it's evidenced by the fact that both our former Republican mayor and our current Republican council member, have had real problems with the legislature as well, because they're, quite frankly, I think, moderate, and that's just not being accepted within the Republican Party right now.
Yeah, a lot of folks mad and angry at your colleague, the Republican member of the City Council, Steve Kasachek, who will be our guest tomorrow here on the Buckmaster Show. But many in his own party are very upset with him because he is a moderate.
I think that's true, and quite frankly, Bill, to serve well at the local level or at most levels of government, you know, you have to hold on to certain core values that you commit to as an independent Republican, Democrat, Green, Libertarian, whatever. It does give a broad sense of the values that you're going to hold to guide your decisions, but beyond that, the highest expectation of anybody in elected office is that each of us will analyze the questions and information in front of us and make the best decisions we possibly can. And when any of us are held to some strict sort of ideological take on things, we really end up doing a disservice to the public. So regardless of party affiliation, we have to remember that we're elected to use our best judgment and hold to certain core values, and I think we all strive to do that.
Karen Ulick is with us, Tucson City Councilwoman and Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson. If you have a comment or question for the Councilwoman, 790-2040, 790-2040. Jim DeGrood from RTA was with us Friday, Karen, on the Buckmaster Show, and he was saying groundbreaking now looks like it will be around the middle of April for the modern streetcar. This is a huge huge construction project, isn't it? 475-day construction project. And I do want to point out that this afternoon at 2 o'clock over at Fire Central, that is right by the Tucson Convention Center, this will be the third in a series of open house meetings. And if people and business people have concerns about the modern streetcar or questions, this would be a great place, wouldn't it, to go?
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think, you know, Bill, that one of the big challenges regarding such a significant infrastructure investment as this, in my view, we should already be talking about where the next leg of this thing is going to go, because in order for it to really serve the community and the region, it needs to be bigger than the 4 miles. And the first 4 miles of any line is the most expensive. So I'm really excited to begin talking about extending the line up Campbell Avenue south and southwest toward the, southeast toward the airport. That infrastructure that we're laying now is going to be the central hub of a system that will really advance the region's transportation interests.
It would make sense to me and for the people that live in the foothills, Karen Ulick, that the extension should go up to River on Campbell. That would be a natural place to board the modern streetcar for going to the University of Arizona, to the medical center in downtown. Would you agree?
Absolutely, and I think the university, because they have their cancer center and also their campus farms establishment on Campbell, and it would run through a significant commercial corridor, that will be one of the top contenders for the next leg of the line.
Let's go to Dan now on the Buckmaster Show live line. Dan, you're on the air with Karen Ulick. Go ahead, Dan.
Thank you, sir. We keep referring to this as a modern streetcar, but yet this streetcar track is going to be making a lot of 90-degree sharp turns going from one point to the other, and doing that is going to slow it down to less than 5 miles an hour. I was wondering how that's going to be progress going at those slow speeds. It seems like just a regular old streetcar line to me. Go ahead.
Thank you, Dan. Go ahead, Karen.
Well, it certainly is not high-speed rail. You have a very good point about that. I think it is considered an advancement because of the numbers of people who can be moved via the streetcar and the fact that it's really connecting in a very convenient way some of the most significant economic hubs in the community, the university, the downtown, and so on. But your point is well taken. This is not going to be a high-speed system. The fact that we're dedicating a route that will allow it not to interfere with traffic so much as run through the center line of the streets will help to make sure that it operates smoothly and I think moves people efficiently where they want to go.
Tim Vanderpool, writing in the current issue of the Weekly, which is just out today, is a good piece, really, about the West University neighborhood and the modern streetcar. A lot of the neighbors are not at all happy. Tim wrote, his opening line was a good one indeed, "You could hear a rumbling in the West University neighborhood last night. It was the sound of a streetcar named Big Money." A lot of these people, and you voted, I think, against this so-called overlay, they're very concerned about the future of their neighborhood.
Yes, absolutely. You know, we're clearly moving as a city, rightly, toward more density and growth in the established urban area rather than sprawling further out into the desert. And I think that's a point of broad consensus in the community. But the devil's always in the detail. And in this case, I think the process was very flawed. We can get to a good outcome that sticks when people really have an opportunity to weigh in appropriately. And by the way, even the West University neighborhood's proposal for density in this area is very significant. Their plan includes 10-story buildings, 8-story buildings. You know, it's not as if anybody is saying, let's keep things the way they are. But as I pointed out in the recent meeting, the way that this has been shaped very rapidly with insufficient process, as far as I'm concerned, is that we could have a 14-story skyscraper next to some one-story historic bungalows that we're trying to preserve. And that is an odd shape for infill that I just don't think is what we really want moving forward. And if we don't do this first plan or these initial dense projects well, it undermines our efforts moving forward because we've got a whole lot of work to do in this area.
We're going to take a break right here. We're with Karen Ulick, the Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Tucson City Councilwoman. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, 790-2040. Councilwoman, stay with us. We'll take a break here, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects including five major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Welcome back. 1250 on the Buckmaster Show. The Vice Mayor of the City of Tucson, Tucson City Councilwoman Karen Ulick, is with us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Before we go to Doug, who is waiting on the live line with a question, we had a caller who did not want to go on the air and wondered why you are opposing raises for city employees, Councilwoman.
Actually, I'm not sure where the caller got that impression. We just got a budget presentation from the city manager and are evaluating his proposal for a 1% cost of living increase. And I'm absolutely open-minded and definitely want to honor the good work of employees who, by the way, we have roughly 1,000 fewer employees doing as much, if not more, than the city's services have been in the past. So haven't in any way weighed in against pay raises. We just need to make sure we balance the budget responsibly.
This caller, another one, has a question about pit bulls. What's the pit bull situation? Is there something new in that area, Congresswoman, that we should, or Councilwoman, that we should know about?
Well, obviously, the vicious attack which recently occurred on a resident, an 89-year-old resident, has really heightened public concern. And I have had a series of meetings with animal rights groups and others who work on animal issues to talk about how can we best handle this issue of aggressive animals, not just pit bulls, but when an owner has reason to believe that their animal might be aggressive, what responsibilities does that owner have and what consequences should come into play when not only when something horrific like this recent incident happens, but quite honestly, whenever those aggressive animals have the potential of getting loose and creating causing harm, they're innocent creatures, and we have to, as owners, be responsible for responsibly caring for our animals.
1251 with Karen Ulick on the Buckmaster Show. Now we go to Doug on the Buckmaster Show live line. Doug has a comment about the main gate rezoning. Go ahead, Doug.
Yes, hi. I actually own a house in that area at 1040 North Euclid. My son lives in it. He goes to the U of A. And so I've been following this. I've been to a lot of the city planning and zoning meetings. And it's basically a rezoning from Euclid to Park and Speedway to roughly 3rd, about a 2 or 3 block area. And to me, it seemed like this was such a good thing for the economy of Tucson. The U of A is just growing by leaps and bounds. It needs some room. And it's good for the city. I just read where the first development that's going to go in is a $144 million development, which should bring in lots of jobs, and then those people go out and eat at restaurants. It like primes the pump, this big project going on. And I saw a newspaper article the other day that said, well, once this, let's call it a 2 to 3 block area, is done, they're going to go to the next neighborhood, to the next neighborhood. And that just seemed like it was fear-mongering to me. The 2 to 3 block area, I was at all these city council meetings, all the zoning meetings, the city and planning meetings, and they always said this is between Euclid and Park, Speedway and 3rd. It's this 2 to 3 block area. 98% of that area is already either the U of A or business, where to the west of Euclid, it's 98% residential.
Okay.
So they picked Euclid just to keep this 98 as a whole business area to get the economy going, and it just seemed like a good idea.
Good idea.
I was wondering if you've heard anything more on the status of it.
Okay, thank you, Doug.
Yes, Doug, the plan did pass, and it is moving forward. However, residents in the area do have an active petition drive to try and reverse that action. And that's one of the points that I have tried to make, that when when we don't have a good process, and I could elaborate on how the process was flawed, we end up taking one step forward but then two steps back. And sure enough, this is happening. Now, in terms of this being the area where this kind of density it might be considered and occur, actually, because we are redoing a number of corridors and roadways and adding the streetcar, for example, the entire Grant Road corridor right now is under study for some different mixes of density. And because this West University plan has ended up so controversial, I can anticipate that there's going to be even more intense pushback when there shouldn't be. You started your question, really, outlining the very same goals and shared sentiments of most people in the community. We need the job. We need the density. We need a successful university. Nobody disagrees. The question is, should you put 14-story structures next to single-story structures so that they, you know, have zero sunlight, and also could have a diminished market value because of the way that that density is configured. Most people would prefer sort of a stepping down where you go from 14 down to 10, down to 6 stories, then 4, 2, and then you're really blending in well and transitioning appropriately at the edge of the residential area. And it's those details that I think are really going to end up being problematic and pushing us backwards instead of forwards. If we do a good job...
Yeah, and that did pass. We want to reiterate, the caller wanted to clarify that did pass.
And Doug, were you making another point?
No, Doug wanted just to make sure that he understood you correctly. Doug has left us, but he wanted to make sure that passed the council, correct? The overlay approval? Did we lose Councilwoman? We may have lost Councilwoman Ulick here. I had so many, really we're quickly running out of time, and I wanted still to get to the TCC situation. We'll be talking, I'm sure, more about that tomorrow with Councilman Kasacek. Karen Ulick is back with us. We lost you there temporarily. Doug was just wanting to reiterate that did pass the council.
It did, absolutely, okay. On a 6-1 vote. And as I said, the unfortunate part of the controversy is that there's a petition now to try and reverse that decision. And I don't know, quite frankly, where that puts the developers. I would say our process was a disservice not only to people right in that area, but also to the developers and investors and the whole city. If we don't navigate our process to make steady progress instead of one step forward, one step back, we're not providing the right kind of leadership.
Karen Ulick has been with us here on the Buckmaster Show. He didn't really have much time to get into the TCC, but there will be some, I guess the council has agreed to go ahead and replace some of the bleachers?
Yes, I think we're committed, Bill, to doing what needs to be done to keep that convention center as it is functional. And you know, regardless of the mediation with the Reno Waivable Board, we simply can't wait and feel it's a horrible disservice, quite honestly, to be bickering in the courts and going through all these processes. People need action, and I think the council was right to take that action.
We'll be talking more about that with Councilman Kasacek tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show. And then coming up on Monday, Councilwoman, we have Jody Bain, chairwoman of the Rio Nuevo Board, and Rick Grinnell, member of the board. They're, Rick and Jody, they are not at all happy the way the board is being portrayed in the media. They think that there's a misconception here, and they want to come on the Buckmaster Show and at least give their point of view on that. Can you give us any quick overview? Are things looking a little better with the board, Karen?
I'm certainly hopeful with the mediation still progressing, and I'm particularly hopeful that they'll agree with us that wasting more money on legal maneuvers and things is not serving the taxpayers. We're going to replace the bleachers as the city of Tucson. A really good step on their part would be to match or even exceed that level of investment in the convention center, which, by the way, is the central piece of Reno Nuevo that the legislature compels them to invest in.
Thank you. Kara Nulick, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Support for the Buckmaster Show comes in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community. More at SplendidoTucson.com. Also, remember Michael C. Flowers, certified public accountant. He's at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com. That'll do it for the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow, we have Councilman Steve Kasacek with us on Friday Focus. Have a great afternoon.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR, Douglas. And 1240 KJAA Globe, the voice.